Oh, I just looked up and noticed Eden DeBebe. We love her on CB24. She's out at Pearson, and the snow is just blowing in her face, and she's got her hand up just saying, I don't want the snow in my face. I feel for you, Eden. I feel for all the reporters out there reporting on the snow. It is coming down. It's going in the other direction horizontally now. When I look out the window, it was blowing westbound at a 45 degree angle. Now it is blowing eastbound, pretty much just totally horizontal. But hey, enough about the weather. Let's get into Entertainment Court with Richard Krause.
Order in the Entertainment Court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Judge Krause, you could just get some snow in your wig and you're all set.
It is blowing sideways right now. I just looked out the window. It's really quite remarkable. It's like being inside a snow globe.
It is. I love it. It's beautiful in the sky, ugly on the ground. We have producer Ben Harrison as our other juror today.
Hello.
Well, here's case number one. Though the tragically hip knows how important it is for people to play their music, they don't want Pierre Poilievre to use their music when he's at work. So what happened is that Pierre Poilievre was at a conservative convention. He has walk-on music, and they used a tragically hip song. Now, the venue had paid the SOCAN rights, so they were completely within their rights to play it, but the tragically hip, notoriously one of the most progressive politically bands out there, said, nope, we don't like it. And they were very vocal on social media over the weekend. So the question here is, did the tragically hip overreact when they complained about the use of their song at a Pierre Poilievre rally?
No, I don't think they did. I mean, they were kind of caught showing their true colors here, but I don't think they overreacted.
It's a savvy political move from Pierre Poilievre, I think, to use this music that's so tied to Canadian pop culture that it's a band that people have opinions about. There's a lot of people out there that love the tragically hip from all kinds of different political stripes. As a political leader, I think that a tradition has been you ask the artist, even if you're going to use it anyway, you reach out to them, you touch base, you see, you know, what sort of communication you're going to have with the artist. So it's a case of doing something not because you can, but because you should. The reverse of that is because you should, but, you know.
All right, here's my verdict. I get it. I really do. I understand that as a politician at one of these big events, you need to make an entrance, and a big showy one. It's showbiz, and you need a great song to usher you onto the stage. It's a way to get your message across and amp up the excitement in the room. John F. Kennedy got it right when he used Frank Sinatra's High Hopes as his walk-on song. Sinatra approved, and the message matched the upbeat and hopeful tone of Kennedy's campaign. In this case, you didn't need to be Carnac the Magnificent to predict that the tragically hip, famously one of the more socially aware groups in the country, would not be thrilled that a conservative politician was connecting himself to their music. Pierre Poilievre has every right to use the song as long as the venue pays the SOCAN fee, but why not ask permission first? Besides, I think there's lots of other possibilities. Those great Canadian classics like Taking Care of Trudeau or Up on Crypto Creek might have been just as effective.
What's our next case, Judge?
So, Hollywood acting legend Jamie Lee Curtis wants bands like U2 and Bruce Springsteen to do matinee performances for fans who want to go to bed early. And she says, well, why? Because mommy wants to go to bed early. That's her exact quote. 7:30 is going to be 9 o'clock before we get food. And you know what? There's nothing good happening with me after 9 o'clock. Nothing. Zero. That's the quote. So she wants the big bands, Bruce Springsteen, Coldplay, everyone that's out there touring right now, of the kind of boomerish generation, to do matinees. So the question is, can you only rock and roll after the sun goes down?
Yes. Yes. Sorry, Jamie Lee. You know why nothing is happening with you after 9 o'clock? Because you're not going to a show, man. Go to a show. It is the nightlife.
I'm team Jamie Lee here. I like going to music festivals. I see the bands that I want to see. They're usually not the headliners, the top billed artists.
Yeah.
And then I leave after the first couple of songs from the headliner. I beat the crowd. I get out of there. I do this at Oceaga every year. The artists that I want to see are performing at like 4, 5, 6 p.m. And then I'm out of there by the time, you know, Muse or Lord goes on.
You're missing really good shows.
It's okay. I don't want to be part of that crowd.
Here's my verdict. To paraphrase Kiss, I don't want to rock and roll all night, just part of every day. I would gladly go to a midday concert, rock out like a maniac, and still be home in time to watch Jeopardy. Movies and theaters have afternoon matinees, so why not Springsteen or Coldplay? The fans are getting older, and so are the performers. Springsteen is 73 years old, and you just know his hips ache at night, so let's make it easy for everyone and schedule some Blue Plate special shows. I know matinees are not as cool as night time shows, but you know what else isn't cool? Falling asleep in your seat because the concert started 2 hours late. Ever heard the saying, make hay while the sun shines? Well, I agree with Jamie Lee Curtis. Make music while the sun shines, and that is my verdict.
What's our next case, Judge?
The next case, we're talking about Scott Adams, and we're just going to briefly touch on his racist tirade that managed to get his Dilbert cartoon that was in the funny pages for the last 30 years canceled all over the place. Everyone deserted this guy after he made these comments and doubled down on them publicly. Now he says, well, listen, I've got something new coming. I'm going to make a new Dilbert cartoon called Dilbert Reborn, and it's going to be wilder and it's going to be edgier, and you know, this is my new direction, and it'll be a subscription only situation. You won't see it in the newspapers. So my question to you is, do we really need a sweary Dilbert in our lives?
No. I'm more of a Calvin and Hobbes guy. The last time I read Dilbert was probably when I was in junior high school, when I was looking at the newspaper. No, this is done.
Bye.
Well, here's my verdict. I think the most surprising thing about this Dilbert saga is that there was still a Dilbert cartoon to cancel. I'd forgotten all about him. And now, unfortunately, we've all been reminded about that and alerted to the fact that there is more edgier, wilder Dilbert on the way via the subscription service. Just what we need in our angry world, Mad Dilbert. The old Dilbert was a comic strip that lampooned office cubicle culture. So I hope the new one, Dilbert Reborn, begins with a strip on office sensitivity. And that is my verdict.
I love it. Thank you so much, Judge Krause.
Well, thanks for having me.
This is great. We have a minute left with Judge Richard Krause.
We're going to talk about the Oscars in the next segment.
Yes, you're staying with us. I'm so excited. Yes, that's right.
On this joyous Oscar weekend, I'll be spending some time with you.
Producer Ben Harrison's hosting a party.
It's the Super Bowl for movie lovers, guys. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And afterwards, on the other side of this, we're going to talk about what you need to know to win your office Oscar pool. If you're still doing office Oscar pools at work, we'll let you know who you should pick and who the sleeper picks are going to be, who might turn out to surprise on Oscar Sunday. And, you know, you never know. You could win contests online. If you're a betting type, Oscar odds are looking at all the different movies that are coming out that are nominated for this weekend. And it's going to be a good show. I don't think it's going to be as exciting as last year's, but it still should be a good show.
I want chaos. I want chaos.
Total chaos.
I want absolute chaos. I want people to announce the wrong winners. I want fights. I want people tripping on their way up the stairs. I want people to swear. I want something.
I want it all.
Brawls in the aisles.
He's not going to be there.
I want it all. I want this show to be unpredictable.
Oh, wait, that happens with announcements. Okay, let's do it. Who should and who will win on Oscar night with the greatest Oscar predictors here, producer Ben Harrison and Richard Krause. That's coming up next right here on The Rush. News Talk 1010 Toronto.